Subject of our study tonight is found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 1. Rick did a reading a few moments ago from verse 1 through 4, 2 Peter chapter 1. But our subject comes from the first verse. In the fourth verse of that text, precious promises were mentioned. In the first verse, precious faith is mentioned. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith. The word faith here is subjective faith, of course. It is actually the faith that comes from the faith, the activity of the heart whereby one comes to believe. He comes to believe in the faith, the gospel, the objective faith. Jude 3, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. But in our text in 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, as Peter refers to those who had obtained like precious faith, he's talking about the faith in a subjective sense that comes from an objective faith, the faith. Faith is subjective only in the sense that it comes from the objective faith. Romans 10 and verse 10, For with the heart one believes, that is, he comes to have faith unto or in order to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Where does this belief or this faith, this subjective faith, come from? It comes from the Word of God. Romans 10, 17, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is not subjective in the sense that it comes from the mind of man. Faith is only subjective in the sense that it comes from an objective faith, the faith. In a day of doubt in which we live, be good for us to consider tonight this precious faith that Peter mentioned. First of all, we should remember, as I've just tried to point out, that the faith under consideration comes from the Word of God, the faith. Many people talk about having faith in this or having faith in that. Sometimes they say things like, well, I have faith in sprinkling for baptism. Well, they can't have faith in sprinkling for baptism because that is not a part of the faith. There is no subjective faith from the faith. That's not contained in the Word of God. You can't believe in something or have faith in something the way the Bible speaks of it if it doesn't come from the faith to begin with. So many people talk about having faith in this or that, but actually they can't have faith in that. They can't believe in that because that belief comes from their own mind, from their own imagination. It doesn't come from the Word of God. Faith is only subjective in the fact that it comes from an objective faith. It is not subjective in the sense that it comes or originates in the heart or in the mind of man. Peter speaks of a precious faith. A precious faith. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith. Precious is that which is valuable. That which is of great worth, that which is of great merit. These to whom Peter was writing had obtained like precious faith. They had obtained the same kind of faith that the apostles had obtained. They had the same faith that would bring the same value and worth to their life. They had the same kind of faith that would bring great merit to their life as the apostles had. Faith is precious, first of all, because of the company it keeps. The company it keeps. We just made mention of that in our text. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us. If you have the kind of faith that the apostles had, you have a valuable faith. A faith that is of great worth, a great merit. So we see that faith is precious because of the company it keeps. The apostles had that same kind of faith. Now, where did they get their faith from? Where did they get their belief from? not from their own man, not from their own heart, not from their own reasoning, but from the faith. That's where their faith come from. And so does our faith come from that. It is precious in regard to the company that it keeps. And so thus, we, like those to whom Peter was writing, have obtained like precious faith with the apostles. And we're told as well to follow or imitate those men of old who had great faith. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow or imitate, considering the outcome of their conduct. The outcome of their conduct, of course, was they died for their faith in the context. So we're taught to imitate the faith of men of faith, men of God. Faith also puts us into the company of Abel, whose faith led him to worship according to God's will. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. So it puts us in company with Abel. We have that kind of faith. A faith, again, it comes from the Word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. We also have company with people like Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. If we have the kind of faith that Enoch had, we will also be pleasing to God. So the kind of faith that we have that comes from the Word of God puts us in company with men of great faith, men who pleased God by their faith. Faith also puts us in company with Noah, whose faith led him to save his household in Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Puts us in great company when we have precious faith, or faith that is valuable, faith that is of worth great merit. Faith also puts one in company with God's friend. That is, Abraham was called God's friend. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Put you in the company with Abraham. So faith is precious because of the company it keeps. Faith puts us in company with Moses, who forsook Egypt in order to serve God. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So faith is precious. It's valuable. It's of great merit to us because of the company it keeps. Faith is also precious because of the salvation that it makes possible. Because of the salvation that it makes possible. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, Peter said, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end. That word end there means the result of your faith. The final lot of your faith. We might say the final result of your faith. Or the final end of your faith. The end of your faith, the result of your faith, is the salvation of your soul. Of course, as Peter is writing to those who've already been saved through an obedience of faith, he's speaking about their eternal salvation in this context. The deliverance from the guilt and consequences of sin eternally. Of course, salvation itself would also describe the forgiveness of one's sins when he is obedient to the gospel. Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized, note this, will be saved. That is, he'll be delivered from the guilt and consequences of his sin. And of course, that has reference to the forgiveness of sins, because there is no salvation deliverance from the guilt and consequences of sin unless sin is forgiven. In Luke 24 and in verse 46, then Jesus said to his apostles, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer, rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. Repentance and remission of sins. We could say repentance and salvation, because there is no salvation without the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Salvation is just simply that, the deliverance of one from the guilt and the consequences of his sin. But in our text, it probably has reference, as I made mention, to our eternal salvation in heaven, receiving the end of your faith. Remember, Peter is writing to those who are already Christians, those who've already obeyed the gospel, those who've already been forgiven of the guilt and consequences of their sins. And that came about by faith, but their faith still lived out in their life, results in the salvation, the eternal salvation of their soul, the eternal deliverance of them to heaven itself. Remember, in Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said that the gospel was God's power unto salvation. And then in verse 17, he said that in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. That is, God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel, which is his power unto salvation. And it's revealed from faith to faith, from, out of. It's revealed out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith. That's objective faith. It's the Word of God, the gospel. To faith. The preposition is in order to faith. That is, in order to produce faith. There's the subjective faith from the faith. If one is going to become righteous in the sight of God, he has to have a faith that is based on the faith. This system of justification by faith is of utmost importance, because without this faith produced by the faith, there is simply no justification or salvation. Romans 5 and in verse 1, Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification or salvation comes by faith. One's personal faith, then, is of utmost importance. Where does this personal faith come from? It comes from the faith. Your belief comes from the faith. And it's that belief or that faith that justifies. Any faith that does not come from the faith will not justify. It's like the people who have faith in sprinkling for baptism as a mode of baptism. There's no justification in that, because that belief doesn't come from the faith, the objective faith. Eternal salvation in heaven is based upon faith that comes from the faith. Faith is also precious because of the direction in life that it provides. Faith gives us direction in life. You see, man by himself doesn't know which way to go. Our direction and our guidance in life comes by faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk. We live. We behave ourselves, conduct ourselves by faith. That is, faith is the guiding principle. Faith is that which guides and directs us in life. Because like I said, we would not know which way to go without faith. It provides us direction. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, but it's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So if it's not in man who walks to direct his own steps, who does direct his steps? Who does direct him? Who provides guidance for him? God provides guidance. How does he do it? He does it through the faith and our faith in the faith. That's how he does it. Now, man may choose to follow his own emotions, his own feelings, his own I think so, but where will that get him? The wise man said in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. That's where it gets him. Man might choose to follow some human philosophy or human wisdom. That is the I think so's and the inclinations of the minds of men. Colossians 2 and in verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you. Actually, rob and take you captive through the philosophy and empty deceit. Philosophy here is human wisdom. According to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So you might choose to follow the human wisdom that exists out there. But where does it get you? It leads to death. You might choose to follow the crowd as well. But where's the crowd headed? To eternal destruction. Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. You might choose to follow false teachers, and there's plenty to follow, but where does that get you? It gets you in the same place of eternal ruin along with others. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. So where do all of these ways get you? To your eternal ruin, your eternal destruction, your eternal death. The only choice you have is to go their way or to go the Lord's way. And the way He guides you is through the faith. Through the faith. Through faith in the faith. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all. One time for all times. There will not be another body of doctrine and teaching to guide us in this life. It's been delivered once and one time for all times. There will not be another. We must put our belief, our trust and confidence, we must put our faith in the faith because it's the guiding principle of our life. Again, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Subjective faith. In the faith. Faith directs us, provides direction and guidance in this life. It directs the home life of God's people. Tells the husband how to treat his wife. Ephesians 5 and in verse 25, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It tells the wife how to treat her husband. Ephesians 5 and in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It tells fathers how to rear their children, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You see how faith directs us and guides us, even in our home life, as God's people. Faith directs mothers on how to guide the house. 1 Timothy 5 and in verse 14. Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Faith directs us. It guides us. In every avenue of life. Not only in the home life. But also in our worship as well. John 4 and in verse 24. God is spirit and those who worship him must. It's a necessity. Worship him in spirit with attitude and disposition of heart that is pleasing to God. And in truth. What is truth? It's that which is in harmony with the will of God. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is true. So faith directs us in worship and service to God. Remember, we walk by faith. We live by faith. All of our conduct, all of our manner of life is directed by faith. By faith. It directs us in this life as a child of God. And it furnishes us completely with all that we need. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped, completely equipped furnished completely, some versions say, for every good work. What else do you need? Faith in the faith. Indeed, it is precious. It is of great value. It is great, of great merit to us all. Faith even directs our life into the future. In our passage, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." When you consider the context of that, as it considers our future, because this old body, this old tabernacle of flesh, this old tent that we actually live in, will not last forever. But we desire a new body, a new home. And our text tells us that as we're absent from the Lord in this body, in the next we will certainly be present with Him when this life is over. So faith directs the Christian life even toward the future. It allows us to have knowledge regarding the reality of man being more than just his mere outer existence. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though," note this, "our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." The inward man, the soul or spirit of man that resides in this body or tabernacle of flesh. Without faith, without belief in the Word of God, how would you know that you have an inward man, a spirit or soul of man that lives on after the body is dead, decayed and rotted away in the grave? Through faith, in the faith, you're assured of that. As a matter of fact, that which you cannot see is evidenced, verified by faith itself. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Now, how do you look at things which are not seen? "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." How do you look at things which are not seen? With the eye of faith. Faith sees the unseen. We can see things that man cannot see with the eye. We can see that we have a soul, that we have a spirit. We can see heaven. Why? By faith. That's how. Faith in the faith. The faith declares that there is a heaven. The faith declares that there is a soul or spirit of man, though you can't see it. By faith you believe it exists. Thus it gives reality to the house not made with hands. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Note where the context of this is. Remember, we walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. That's the context of this. We have a house, eternal in the heavens. Faith gives reality to that house. The house under consideration is a new body, a new dwelling place for the spirit or soul of man. It gives reality to that. Faith provides assurance that at death we will go and be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." To be absent from the body is to be dead. But when you're dead, as a child of God, you're still present with the Lord. We're provided assurance for that. By faith, in the faith. Faith guarantees that the day of judgment will come. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one might receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad." Faith is precious because of the direction in life that it provides. Faith is also precious because of the hope that it inspires. the hope that it inspires. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substance. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. Faith is the reality of things hoped for. Faith brings those things hoped for. It makes it them real to us. We hope for heaven. Hope is desire plus expectation. Hope makes heaven real to us. It's the substance of things hoped for, the confidence of things hoped for, the reality of things hoped for. It is the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Faith convicts us in those things that we cannot see. Hope anchors the soul. But where does that hope come from? Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It anchors our soul. Without faith, in the faith, we have no hope. Hebrews 6 and in verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to order of Melchizedek. There are temptations of life, there are troubles of life, trials of life, and there is death to be faced. We face temptation with hope that we will overcome. We face the trials of life and the troubles of life with hope. Hope and faith in Jesus Christ that we can overcome. That we can hold out, persevere, endure to the end. And face death with a confidence that we'll enter into the joys of heaven one day. When we have the kind of faith that is of great value and great worth and great merit, the kind of faith that the apostles had in the faith, that kind of faith causes us to hope as a child of God and causes us to remain pure in the sight of God that we might attain unto the blessings of everlasting life. 1 John 3 and in verse 1, John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." That is, he keeps himself pure. So we will enter into the joys of heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. You know, since faith is precious, since it's valuable, since it's of great merit to us, it would be a shame to make shipwreck of it, would it not? But from the beginning of faith, in the faith, that's what's happened to many people. 1 Timothy 1 and in verse 19, "Having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected, concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." It's a tragedy to have shipwrecked faith. Faith in the faith. It is precious because it enriches our life and it inspires hope for the future. Everything that we believe, again, belief is faith. Everything that we believe in regard to religious matters must be based upon the faith. Faith in the faith. If you don't have faith in the faith, it is not precious, it is not valuable, it is not of great worth or merit. But when you have faith in the faith, the result of that is what? Salvation of your soul. That's what it is. The salvation of your soul. Eternal salvation of your soul. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one through faith That is obedience of faith. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, I encourage you to repent of that sin. Get yourself right before it is too late. And we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.